The Senate will come to order. Senator Klein.
Mr. President, I impose a call of the Senate.
The Senate is now under call. Senator Murphy.
Thank you and good morning, Mr. President. I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and that the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Members, in our tradition, if you would please stand. In our tradition, we start our day with prayer. Today's chaplain is Father Daniel Haugen from Lumen Christi Catholic Community in St. Paul. As a gentle reminder, following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
We put ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Almighty God, in you we trust and we pray your blessing on this Senate and its members. In these first days of spring, may we see the example of new life emerging from the bleakest of seasons, confident in your care and sure of your purpose in our lives. As trees planted by streams of living waters, may we extend our roots, ourselves, our energy, our work, our desires, to the refreshment of your life-giving spirit. Blessed are you, God of truth and justice. Guide the women and men of this state Senate. Grant them wisdom, insight, courage, and compassion. And grant that we, whom they seek to serve, may give them the support they need. God bless these elected members, their families, staff, and constituents in a special way this day, in order that they may continue to reach for the highest, noblest, and greatest benefit for this great state and the people of Minnesota. And the Senate says amen.
Thank you, members. The secretary will take the roll.
Abler, Anderson, Barr, Bolden, Carlson, Champion, Clark, Coleman, Swadzinski, Dames, Stibble, Dornick, Draheim, Drazkowski, Duckworth, Eichhorn, Farnsworth, Fate, Frentz, Green, Grunhagen, Gustafson, Hochschild, Herr, Hoffman, Housley, Howe, Jasinski, Johnson, Johnson-Stewart, Klein, Curran, Cruen, Kunisch, Kupik, Lang, Latz, Liske, Limmer, Lucero, Mann, Marty, Matthews, Mayquaid, McEwen, Miller, Mitchell, Mohammed, Murphy, Nelson, Umu Verbaten, Pappas, Pa, Port, Pratt, Putnam, Rarick, Rasmussen, Rest, Seeberger, Utke, Weber, Wiesenberg, Westland, Westrom, Wickland, and Jong.
Members, a quorum is present. The following members intend to vote from a remote location under Rule 40.7, Senator Carlson and Senator Jasinski. Members, if you'd like to follow along, I'm reading from today's Senate agenda, dated Thursday, April 10th, 2025. We will begin at the fifth order of business, reports of committees. There's a committee report to be read at the desk. The secretary will read the report.
Senator Frentz from the Committee on Energy, Utilities, Environment, and Climate, to which was referred Senate File 2393, a bill for an act relating to commerce, establishing a biennial budget for commerce and energy, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill do pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Senator Murphy for a motion to adopt committee reports.
Mr. President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda and read by the Secretary be adopted, with the exception of the reports pertaining to Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 4.
On the adoption of the committee reports, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Members, we will now go to the sixth order of business, which is second reading of Senate bills. The secretary will read the Senate file numbers.
Senate file numbers 2298 and 509.
The Senate files have been given their second reading. Members, we will now proceed to the seventh order of business, which is the second reading of House bills. The secretary will read the House file number.
House file number 2184.
The House file has been given its second reading. Members, we will now proceed to the eighth order of business, which is introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The bills listed on today's introduction calendar are given their first reading and referred as indicated. We will now proceed to the ninth order of business. We will adopt the author's motion as one motion. All in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. I will now call on some individual members. Senator Port for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 2973 be withdrawn from the Committee on Environment, Climate, and Legacy and re-referred to the Committee on Capital Investment. This is my bill, and I've talked to both chairs.
Thank you so much, Senator Port. Senator Port moves that Senate File Number 2973 be withdrawn from the Committee on Environment, Climate, and Legacy and re-referred to the Committee on Capital Investments. On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Senator Port, for your next motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 2974 be withdrawn from the Committee on Environment, Climate, and Legacy and re-referred to the Committee on Capital Investment. Again, this is my bill, and I've talked to both chairs.
Senator Port moves that Senate File Number 2974 be withdrawn from the Committee on Environment, Climate, and Legacy and re-referred to the Committee on Capital Investments. On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Members, Senate Resolution Number 31 will be referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration, and there's nothing that we need to do. Remaining under the order of business and motions and resolutions, Senator Murphy.
Mr. President, I move that House File 62 be taken from the table and given a second reading.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The secretary will give the House file its second reading.
House file number 62.
The House file has been given its second reading. Senator Murphy for another motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House file 62 be laid on the table.
To that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Senator Murphy for another motion.
Mr. President, I move that House file 1471 be taken from the table and given a second reading.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Senator Murphy. The secretary will give the House file a second reading.
House file number 1471.
The House file has been given its second reading. Senator Murphy for a motion.
I move that House file 1471 be laid on the table.
To that motion of laying House file number 1471 on the table, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Senator Murphy for a motion.
Mr. President, I move that House file 1659 be taken from the table and given a second reading.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The secretary will give the House file a second reading.
House file 1659.
The House file has been given a second reading. Senator Murphy for a motion.
Mr. President, I move that House file 1659 be laid on the table.
To that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Senator Murphy for a motion.
Mr. President, I move that House file 1662 be taken from the table and given a second reading.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The secretary will give the House file a second reading.
House file number 1662.
The House file has been given a second reading. Senator Murphy for a motion.
I move that House file 1662 be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Murphy to designate special orders.
Mr. President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. Members, the list is on your desk.
Members, that is true that list is on your desk, and we will begin with House File 1355, Senator Bowden.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the amendment made to House File 1355 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted April 9th, 2025, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken.
Senator Bowden moves that to that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Senator Bowden.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm moving to pick up the House file, 1355. I've been in close conversation with the chief author of that bill. We have worked together. This is the language we have worked together on and the language I would like to move forward and discuss on the floor today.
Give me just one moment. All right, you can explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also have a technical amendment, the A1. Is it your desire to move that first, or should I explain the bill first?
We can move that amendment, and then you can explain it so that it's in the shape that you like for it to be in. Senator Bowden moves the A1 amendment. The secretary will report the A1 amendment.
Senator Bolden moves to amend House File 1355 as follows, page 4, line 9. This is Amendment A-1.
Senator Bolden, to your motion and how this A-1 amendment ties into your bill.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a technical amendment changing just a couple of words from spotter to standby diver. This is on the recommendation of the Department of Labor and Industry. I would ask for member support.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. And those opposed say no. The motion prevails. We are now on House File 1355 as amended. Senator Bowden, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I'm incredibly grateful to present this bill today. It's not every day that we have the opportunity to pass a bill that will save the lives of Minnesotans, but today is one of those days. This is a bill about worker safety. It adds necessary protections for those doing the work of lake weed removal using scuba gear. I started working on this bill last December when I got an email from a grieving parent. Shortly after that, I met with two sets of grieving parents and heard the stories of Brady Ani and Joseph Anderson. As his mother shared with us in committee, Brady Ani was alive and well at breakfast on June 3rd, 2022, and dead by lunch. He was just 20 years old, and he had been on the job with dive guys for 3 days when he drowned in Lake Minnetonka. He expected it to be a fun summer job, a way to be outdoors and earn some money, but he was not provided any formal training on how to use the scuba gear when he was sent into the water on day one. The investigation after his death found that no one on site that day was CPR certified. Brady's dive buddy was not with him, as he should have been. And Brady's weight belt was on both backwards, so he couldn't release it, and it was the wrong weight for him. Brady wanted to be a firefighter like his dad, and he was on track to earn his ranking in his cadet class later that summer. Brady's death was preventable. Tragically, less than 2 years later, another family experienced a similar devastating loss. Joseph Anderson was just 18 when he began working for Your Lake Aquatic Plant Management. He was a senior in high school with a bright future and plans ahead for college. On May 21st of just last year, on his third day on the job and his first day using scuba equipment, Joseph got just 15 minutes of verbal training on the dock of Lac Levan, where a few hours later he would drown. Joseph was told he'd been working in 6 to 8 feet of water, but he was found in 20 feet of water with his respirator off. He was pulled from the water with no pulse and not breathing. Again, no one on site knew CPR, so they waited for the ambulance to arrive. When it did, the ambulance crew was able to regain his pulse, but not his breathing. And he was taken to the hospital where he fought bravely for 3 days until he passed. Joseph's death was preventable. So the bill we have before us today closes the gaps that led to Brady and Joseph's deaths. It requires that anyone using scuba gear to perform aquatic plant management to use specific equipment, including a buoyancy control device or BCD, an illuminated dive beacon, and a quick release weight system. It requires that those using scuba gear to do this work hold at least an open water scuba diving certification from a nationally recognized training provider. It requires the use of a standby diver and CPR training. It also adds worker safety requirements to the DNR permitting process for aquatic plant management. Applicants will be required to undergo an annual safety consultation to use scuba gear, and they will require an information sheet from DLI to applicable federal and state worker safety standards so they know what those requirements are. In addition, the DNR will be required to deny a permit to a company that has received a citation for a willful OSHA violation in the past 2 years, and to revoke a permit if an employer is found to have used scuba gear without undergoing this safety consultation requirement. I will add that I've been in conversation with some of the businesses who do this work, and they agree that these changes are reasonable. I also want to thank the members who have contributed to the work of this bill, Senator Sieberger, Senator Westland, Senator Duckworth, and Senator Liske, and also to Chair McEwen, Chair Herr, Chair Marty, and their committees for the smooth hearings. I've worked closely with the Republican author of this bill in the other body where it passed off the floor unanimously last week, and I'm hopeful we can do the same today. I'd also like to acknowledge the work of our partners at DLI and the DNR, Senate Counsel, Caucus Researcher Danny Gillis, and my staff, Jack Dudley. Lastly, I want to recognize the bravery, persistence, and strength of the Ani and Anderson families who have been present and pushing through every step of this process, all the while they are still navigating their own grief. They don't want any other families to experience and know the pain that they are experiencing in the preventable deaths of their boys. So members, I would ask for your support and a green vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other discussion on House File 1355 as amended? Senator Liske.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like to offer the A3 amendment.
Senator Liske offers the A3 amendment. The secretary will report the A3 amendment.
Senator
Senator Liske moves to amend House File 1355 as follows. Page 4, delete subdivision 3 and insert. This is Amendment A-3.
Senator Liske, to your A-3 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, first I'd like to thank Senator Bolden for bringing this bill and having many open-door conversations about this very important issue. I started with this bill in the Labor Committee as a member of the committee, and reading through the first version of the bill before getting to committee and hearing the situation, my gut instinct was, as a very conservative, non-regulating business person myself, was opposed. I don't like regulations. I don't think they're overly helpful at times. But once I sat and read through the bill and actually reached out to members that are involved in this every single day, I came to the conclusion that something bad had happened and that the regulations were not followed that already exist. OSHA law already requires a significant list of equipment to be existing when doing scuba diving services. And unfortunately, the only option then is to fine someone after the fact. It is not a situation where it's as easily enforceable every day. And so with Senator Bolden's bill here, we would have the enforceability ahead of time. Things would be able to be addressed before accidents happened, before people lose their lives. And so with this amendment, my goal is to I spent a lot of time talking to master divers. In fact, one of the master divers was an individual who investigated the situation for both boys. I asked him his opinion, and the amendments I brought in committee, which Senator Bolden has accepted all three at the time and now has changed just one of them, and that's what this amendment is going to take care of, hopefully. She accepted the first aid CPR requirement. She accepted the standby diver requirement. Slightly changed, but I agreed with that change. I think it was a very valid change. So after talking to people in the industry, this is actually what we came up with. We spent hours talking about what they could accept as required equipment. I'm going to run through the equipment as quickly as possible. We have the buoyancy control device just like we had originally. We have a mask. We have compressed gas cylinder and valve. So if you're going to be scuba diving, you need air. You have a primary regulator, which controls that air, a breathing gas monitoring device, which is strictly just telling you how much air you have in the tanks. We have a quick release weight belt system and the weights that are included. And then we have an audible emergency surface signaling device. This could be as simple as a whistle or something that makes loud noise under the water when you're in an emergency. You realize you're drowning, but you need help. Then we go on to the equipment requests. This would be if the diver themselves required this equipment in their opinion. It would have the illuminated dive beacon, meaning that they're going deep enough in which the surface supervisor wouldn't be able to see them. We have a depth monitoring device, again, related to how deep you get, because the deeper you get, the less likely you are to know how far down you are other than the light coming to you. Fins and snorkel. Again, if it's a depth thing, we should have fins. It's hard to get to the surface very quickly if you don't have fins to get you there. Alternate air source. In this case, if you lose control of your original air source, you now have another source of air on your hip. Adequate exposure to protection against local dive conditions. Sometimes you need a wetsuit, sometimes you need a dry suit. And then finally, a dive computer or recreational dive planner. This is important because if you are going to dive past 7 feet, you get lost. It's not bright down there, it's very dark. And now with pulling weeds, you actually get a muddy instance. So I hope I can get members' support. This bill, this amendment will make this bill actually more viable on saving lives in the future. Thank you.
Senator Bolden, to the A3 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Liske. I appreciate the many conversations we have had about this bill and this topic. I, too, have had many conversations with the companies and the providers who are doing this work. I'm going to ask for a no vote on this amendment. Because I think we have landed in a good spot with the language that we have. It's been part of careful negotiations with stakeholders, with many involved parties, with the families, et cetera. I do have some concerns about this language, specifically about the section that requires, an employer must provide it following the request of a diver. I have some concern, especially with the first item that we have required, the illuminated dive beacon. To put the responsibility on the diver to request these items, they might not even know to request them. And so I have some concern about that part. And, I think we have landed in a good spot with the items that we are saying should be required and would like to keep the language as we have negotiated. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the A3? Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I've had a chance to talk to some people that are in a group called the Professional Association of Diving Instructors, otherwise known as PADI. This is a very basic list. If we are truly interested in saving lives, and the story of these boys is absolutely horrific. It should never have happened. And to say that there's minimum equipment that we expect these employers to provide, and if they are certified, they should know to also request these other pieces of equipment if they so need them. I think this is a very common sense amendment. It's one that the diving instructors are saying is a minimum list of required equipment. And I appreciate that Senator Liske has even taken the time, because when this amendment originally passed committee, and if this passed not just one committee, but I think two committees over time, and it passed out of finance with this amendment in it, but I appreciate that Senator Liske has delineated the must-haves and the should-haves. And I hope members will support this. Let's not let this situation happen again. Let's make sure we're taking the proper precautions. I, with Senator Liske, am not a big mandates guy, but I also want to make sure that we don't lose any other young men in tragic accidents like these. Mr. President, I request a roll call.
Roll call. Request a roll call granted. Senator Nelson. I'm sorry, Senator Nelson. Before you is Senator Weisenberg, and then I'll go to Senator Nelson. My apologies, Senator Weisenberg.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would echo Senator Pratt's sentiments and support Senator Liske's bill. And I also know a master diver in my district and is a friend of mine, and there's just minimum things that we need. And let's make this bill actually do what the intent is, and that's to save people's lives and not just be a political bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of the A3 amendment. Members, this is a tragic loss of life that did not need to happen. And we're here today because there are some things that we can do to prevent this type of senseless loss. And I appreciate the fact that those in this body who are divers, who have been working with divers, truly understand the value of having a complete list. It's good that we are providing. I applaud Senator Bolden for taking up this piece of legislation and providing some safeguards. But members, let's not wait till the next tragic accident, loss of life, to come back again and say, oh, now we need to add these other things that were recommended to keep these young divers safe. I encourage a yes vote on this amendment before us today.
Members, we're on the A3 amendments. Senator Grutenhagen.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, if Senator Bolden would yield for a question.
Senator Bolden, will you yield? She will yield. Senator Grutenhagen.
Senator Bolden, appreciate you bringing this forward. Of course, we had it at Labor Committee, a very, very tragic situation. I do think, though, how does your bill, how would a business know with your current bill the haves and the should-haves, according to Senator Liske's amendment? Where would they find that information out? Or how would that be included in your bill?
Senator Bolden, to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Grutenhagen, for the question. Just as a clarification, the current language doesn't have must-haves and should-haves. It just has must-haves. But how the businesses will know about that is that when they are applying for a permit to do this work, they will receive a one-pager from the DLI, detailing the requirements, both state and federal, so that information will be provided to them.
Senator Grutenhagen.
Oh, thank you for that response, Senator Bolden. If Senator Liske would yield for a question.
Senator Liske, will you yield? He will yield. Senator Grutenhagen.
Senator Liske, you heard her explanation. What are your thoughts?
Senator Liske, to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senator Grutenhagen. I understand her position. I definitely do, especially because of this bill and being so problematic for the boys that unfortunately passed away. I still believe that there's a lot of businesses that will probably ignore the one pager, and that's my concern. You know, some of these things that have come up during the discussion were, well, we're not going to use that because we don't have to, but then it is required by OSHA that they need to. And so I don't know how else to do it other than to put this requirement on the licensing or the permitting in this case ahead of time. So that way they know that in order to get their permit, these are requirements they have to have.
Senator Gruennagen.
Oh, thank you, Senator Liske. Yeah, you know, in Labor Committee, we had a professional diver there, and he was supportive of having the type of language that Senator Liske articulated at that time. So, members, I think it's better to be safe than sorry, so I'd encourage a green vote on the amendment. Thank you.
Members, we're on the A3 Liske amendment. Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate it. First, I want to say I'm very supportive of the bill and appreciative of Senator Bolden for bringing it forward. I would ask Mr. President if she would yield for a question.
Senator Bolden, will you yield? She will yield. Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Bolden. I guess my question is, if we were to pass the bill today as amended and without Senator Liske's amendment, will it go to a conference committee, or at that point, will it be ready to go to the governor for signature?
Senator Bolden, to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Duckworth, for the question. Because we had the technical amendment, the bill will have to go back to the House where our agreement was that they would concur, and then it would go to the governor. I will just add that there is some urgency to get this bill passed into law because the ice is off the lakes in most parts of the state. This work will start very soon, and so we want to be sure that this is in place before the current season starts so that we don't have any more of these tragic incidents yet this year. So that is part of my original, opposition to this, because I think the language we have is solid, and I want to move as expeditiously and safely as we can. However, understand that this may be the Senate position, and we can take it into conference committee. I'm willing to do that, and appreciate the conversation around that. I appreciate all of my colleagues. Desire for workplace safety, and I hope that carries over into many other workplaces. And so with that, I'm okay to accept this amendment as friendly and would be okay with a green vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Duckworth, she's willing to accept it. Any additional comments?
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Bolden. I no longer have a reason to speak, so I appreciate it, Mr. President.
And Senator Pratt, would you still like the roll call? Senator Pratt removes the roll call. All right, we have in front of us the A3 amendment. All in favor say aye. Oh, I'm sorry, hold it. There's someone else that wanted to say something. Senator Liske.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, will Senator Bolden yield for one question?
Senator Bolden.
So, Senator Bolden, I know that you and I have talked about the illuminated dive beacon at length, actually. Would that make it a more friendly amendment if we move that up to the required list at this time?
Senator Bolden, to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Liske. Yes, I do have concerns about that particular piece. Although knowing that we are now going into conference committee, I don't know that that's something we need to do in this moment, but certainly something I will be bringing forward into those conversations.
Senator Liske.
Mr. President, can I offer an oral amendment to the amendment?
Yes.
Would you like me to state that now?
State your oral amendment.
Okay. My oral amendment to the amendment would be to move an illuminated dive beacon to the equipment required list. So moving it up from one section. So line 1.14 and insert it after line 1.11 and re-enumerate to match.
The secretary will report the oral amendment. So he wants to strike the line 1.14 and insert that line after the line 1.11, and then for the number to correspond, so it becomes number 8 under that list. Is that correct, Senator Liske?
That is correct, Mr. President.
The secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Liske moves to amend his A3 amendment as follows. On page 1, after line 11, insert an illuminated dive beacon, which would be number 8, an illuminated dive beacon. And then on line 14, delete line 14.
We are on the oral amendment to the A1. This is the amendment to the amendment. Any other questions on the amendment to the amendment? All in favor of the amendment to the amendment, say aye. All those opposed, say no. The motion prevails. We are now on the A3 amendment as amended. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor to the A3 amendment, the A3 amendment as amendment, as amended, say aye. All those opposed, say no. The motion prevails. The A3 amendment as amended is adopted. Now, any other discussions on the underlining bill? Senator Letts.
Mr. President, thank you. I support the underlying bill. I think it's an important safety measure to prevent tragedies like occurred in this case. And my heart grieves for the Ani and Anderson families for their loss. I admire their strength for bringing forward this proposed change in statute to prevent other families from going through the same loss and other people from losing their lives as their children did here. It has been, and I will always think of this bill as inspired by those families. However, it has been Senate tradition not to name statutes after individuals. And although it has happened on occasion, it has been quite rare, and mostly I think because we were not paying particularly close attention procedurally to some of the content. So there is a provision in the bill that's before us that identifies that this law should be cited as the Brady-Ani and Joseph Anderson Safety Act. And while I'm completely comfortable with the notion of thinking of it in those terms and referring to it in those terms, as a matter of permanent state statute, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't think it's appropriate. Part of the reason is because it is will become a permanent feature of state statute. And secondly, because were this to be the case, we would be facing many other situations where a person who has lost their life and it has inspired a proposed change in statute, we would be filling our statute books with named statutes as a result. I, for one, in law school, always had an easy time remembering the holdings in cases, but had a hard time remembering the case names that would link the bills or link the reference. And so sometimes you can get to the point where you start citing statutes by name and it's not entirely clear what in the end they're actually referring to in the context of a conversation. So members, I am going to be asking our members here today, and with all due respect to the families that are involved here, be asking the body today to strip out the provision in the bill that names and calls for citation of the bill as this particular safety act. And to that end, I have the A2 amendment to offer.
Senator Letts offers the A2 amendment. The secretary will report the A2 amendment.
Senator Letts moves to amend House File 1355 as follows. Page 4, delete subdivision 8. This is amendment A-2.
Senator Letts, anything else you want to say about your A2 amendment? Any other, Senator Bowden to the A2 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. I respect the perspective of my colleague. I will always talk about this bill, and this bill will forever be the intention of it, and the effect of it will be the Brady-Ani and Joseph Anderson Safety Act, and would ask members to vote as they see fit.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I was listening very carefully to Senator Latz, and I'd like the body to know that I agree with Senator Latz on his approach regarding this amendment. In recent years, despite the fact that naming provisions in statute are relatively rare, they are on the increase in the legislature. I know that we grieve for families that lose loved ones due to accidents and other calamities, but nevertheless, the provisions of naming names on statutes seems to be getting or becoming on the rise. Having statutes named, I believe, brings a little confusion to statutory references. I know that the families are trying to memorialize the memories. Quite honestly, having a memorial of a name in a statute, a one line, and can you imagine 18 volumes of our statutes? I would hope that we could memorialize our victims and our family members in a much more public manner so that we as a society can learn about the loss and further prevent such experiences in the future. However, needless to say, I do believe that naming names for statutes is basically something that I would caution the legislature to continue with. So, as a result, I speak in favor of the Senator Latz's amendment.
We're on the A2 Latz amendment. Senator Westrom, did you want to speak to this? Okay. I am now going to Senator Abler.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. Until I read the news of what was coming up on the floor, I didn't know anything about diving. My son is a sheriff certified diver, and I used his stuff, and there's gauges, and I was in like 4 feet of water, so I didn't feel too much at risk. Although it was kind of even scary at that, so that's as much as my history is. But I just would like to speak against the amendment. Sometimes you lose a child, all you have is your work to go forward and remember your son or your daughter. And so I think that the naming on this bill is appropriate. And if we're going to change the policy of that, I don't think we should do it on the floor. I don't think we should do it today. And now we're starting with this bill, with the sensitivity of a topic I didn't even know even existed. But I do understand the feelings of the parents and the advocates and the joy it brings to them to remember their sons, in this case, that at least something happened, and they can point that, and they can. And so is that a good way to make policy, Mr. President? Yes, it is. We're going to change a policy. Let's set up a rule. We'll quit having purposes for bills. We try to get rid of that. But naming has gone on for a long time. So, you know, I'm not going to ask for a roll call, though I feel like it, but I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But I just hope people just vote no or Senator Latz withdraws this amendment, because it's not the right time, it's not the day. And I want to honor the families of these two kids, young men, excuse me. So I urge members to vote no. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the A2 amendment? Last voice you hear, Senator Latz.
Mr. President and members, I don't bring this amendment lightly, but we're not changing any policy here. It's been known to the advocates, or at least the chief advocate of this bill for some time now, that this was a concern. And there were opportunities before it came to the floor to address this. Unfortunately, this is where we are here and now. It's been the longstanding Senate tradition to not name bills after individuals who have deceased, even though it has happened on occasion. So it's not like we're changing any policy. You know, bills that come through the Judiciary Committee, we've had a bipartisan practice of deleting those provisions from the bills. This bill did not come through judiciary, so it came to my attention later in the process. The House also knows that the other body also knows that it's the Senate practice not to do this, and yet sometimes they still send them over to us this way, and it becomes our responsibility to maintain the Senate tradition. That's all I'm asking for us to do here today.
Any other discussion? Senator Johnson Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. President. And did I just break tradition by speaking after the author?
Because we try to give the author of the amendment the last voice that people will hear. But because you're new, I hope that we don't have this mistake again. We will go
I'll sit down.
Go ahead, Senator. You're up already. Senator Johnson Stewart.
I apologize to the body. I'm actually kind of new and forgot that, so I apologize. I just wanted to offer my two cents as a mom. And I heard the parents present this bill in transportation or in state and local government. I can't remember, but I know my heart was broken for them. I concur with Senator Abler that this is not the time or place to talk about this, and so I would encourage a no vote on the amendment. And I apologize, Mr. President.
No problem, Senator Johnson Stewart. Any other discussions on the A2 amendment? No roll call was requested. All in favor of the A2 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
The A2 amendment is not adopted. Members, we are on. Please, no applause, please. Thank you so very much. Members, we are on House File 1355 as amended. Any other discussions before we go to the third reading? Seeing none, third reading.
House File 1355, a bill for an act relating to occupational safety, requiring holders of permits to harvest or destroy aquatic plants to safely use scuba diving equipment, etc.
Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to try to be respectful of the body's time, but this bill does pertain to some constituents of mine, so I feel compelled to speak a little bit. I want to thank the Senate today for the work we've done on this bill to improve it and move it along. I do heed Senator Bolden's urging that it is timely, that we need to action it quickly, and I hope the ultimate version that passes and becomes law is a good one. For those of you that are about to consider your vote right now, I would just ask this question. Why do we pass laws? Why does the legislature exist, and why do we pass laws? I think one of the basic answers to that question has to do with safety. Oftentimes, the legislation that we consider, the laws that we pass, have to do with keeping people safe, protecting lives, and ensuring sometimes that tragedies that have occurred don't occur again in the future. That's the law we have before us, plain and simple, Mr. President. I hope we can vote in support of it. Do right by these young men who lost their lives and prevent any future loss of life. I've got four kids, three of which are boys. You can imagine if I found myself in the situation that these parents unfortunately found themselves in, I'd be right there alongside them demanding action from lawmakers to prevent this from happening again. So thank you, Mr. President and members. I would urge your support for this bill.
Any other discussion on House File 1355 as amended before we vote? Senator Liske.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I want to say thank you to Senator Bolden for accepting my amendment as a friendly amendment. It weighed heavily on me. I'm actually good friends with one of Brady's friends. He called me this week and asked me to vote for this bill, and I talked to him and I told him about how I had some issues with how the House file was getting passed. And so I said I didn't know how I was gonna handle that. I said I was unlikely, I didn't know how I was gonna vote because I couldn't vote for that language and agree to that language because it wasn't the language that I thought would solve the problem. And so with Senator Bolden supporting the amendment, it makes me feel a lot better. I urge everybody a green vote. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the bill before we vote? Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate that. And thank you, Senator Boland, for bringing this bill forward. I think Senator Duckworth asked, well, why do we pass laws in this Senate? And his conclusion was that it's to keep people safe. One of the issues that I have with this bill, I think the intent is honorable, and I think it is something that, we got to be thinking about. But I look at the bill, and I know the intent of this is to increase safety. And I'm wondering where the increase in safety comes from this bill. We've already got in statute the OSHA factors for diving. We've got the factors in there for that. We have some safeguards within our laws already. What this does is I'm concerned is does it cloud it up? I mean, we've got tort actions to hold the companies responsible. We've got OSHA violations in here. Those two companies were violated, they had significant fines and fees based on that. Are we just going through some action in this one, or is there an ability to actually get to the root and give safety to those divers that are out there? And so, Mr. President, if I could just have Senator Boland answer a quick question.
Senator Boland, will you yield? She will yield. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. So in determining my vote going forward, can you lay out exactly what we're voting for in here and how this is going to help families like the Onnies and the Andersons going forward to prevent those tragic accidents? So I'll leave that with you.
Senator Boland, to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I appreciate the question. It gives me an opportunity to reiterate why this bill will save lives. Fines and fees after the fact are not going to bring Brady and Joseph back. This language clarifies what is required. It makes it clear to the folks doing this work, both the businesses and the employees, what is needed. It ensures that proper training is provided and completed by the people using this scuba gear. Again, I'll reiterate, tragically, the two boys who died, one had no training and one had 15 minutes of verbal training. That is not enough. So it will require that scuba certification so the people doing this work know how to use the equipment that is necessary to keep them alive. It will make it clear to the employees, it will make it clear to the businesses. It will, that the permitting safeguards will be sure that companies are given information about what is required of them. That will be very clear. And they have been involved in these conversations as well. And it will also be make it clear that the if there are businesses who go around this process and either have willful violations, which is a very high bar, or they are not abiding by the safety consultation, that they won't be able to have a permit to do this work. If businesses are wanting to do this work, they should do what is necessary to keep the workers doing that work safe. And this puts those safeguards in place and makes it very clear to everyone what is required.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. And thank you, Senator Boland, for that answer as well, too. And I agree that this does have some upfront warnings and ability to notice the businesses that these things are required. But I also believe that some of those things are presently in law and the requirements for divers within that aspect. And so I'm concerned that we'll go through this motion today, but we'll still see stories that young divers are going down and having those incidents. I think there is more that we can be doing. And this isn't a knock against the bill. This isn't a knock against what your effort is on this one, too. But I certainly am concerned that we are not actually getting to the root of the issue on this one. And I look forward to working on this issue and ones like this going forward, that we can actually get to the point where we can be saving lives and not just talking about or going through the motions of it. And I hope that this is a bill that starts to address some of those things. But this does bring up a really good topic, and I do really appreciate you bringing that forward. Thank you.
The Secretary, Senator Latz.
Mr. President, will Senator Boland yield for a question?
Senator Boland, will you yield? She will yield. Senator Latz.
Senator Boland, in the bill, along the lines of what Senator Johnson just said, what are the consequences to a company that fails to comply should this become law?
Senator Boland, will yield. Senator Boland.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the question. It depends on the action that they are taking, but if they fail to comply with the safety consultation, their permits can be revoked. There certainly are the same OSHA, both state and federal regulations in place, so those fees and fines will continue as well.
Senator Letts, the Secretary will take the roll on House File 1355 as amended. Senator Umu Verbaden, for those voting pursuant to Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. I report Senator Carlson votes aye.
Senator Carlson votes aye. Senator Rasmussen, for those voting pursuant to Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Jasinski votes aye.
Senator Jasinski votes aye. All senators having voted who desires to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There have been 54 ayes and 10 noes. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Members, we will now turn to House File 124, Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm aware of the time, so I'm going to be as succinct as possible. Members, before us, we have a bill that will allow cities, counties, other types of local government bodies to essentially, if they find themselves in a situation where a first responder was killed in the line of duty, they can take gifts, monetary gifts, and then use them to either support the loved ones or family members of those first responders or officers killed in the line of duty, or use them toward memorial funds or sending their fellow officers or firefighters to memorial services within a given period of time. I would like to thank Senator Letts for improving the language a little bit and adding some transparency and accountability measures. I'd like to thank Senator Port for the ability to work alongside her on this bill and for staff for moving it quickly. Mr. President, this bill is largely inspired by the shooting that occurred in Burnsville about a year ago that claimed the lives of officers Paul Elmstrand, Matthew Ruge, and firefighter Adam Finseth. And so, members, I hope we can get your support on this bill and make it law. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Port.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Duckworth, for bringing this bill. I want to thank the City of Burnsville, the Burnsville Fire and Police Department, who've worked with us on this language. You know, when tragedies like this happen in communities, being able to show up for your community in the way that your community is able to is really important. Being able to create or build monuments, things like that, can help communities move through these tragedies. We certainly hope that no other community has to go through this, but if they do, we want them to be able to mourn and grieve with their community in the way that fits them. So I ask for a green vote.
Any other discussion? The Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 124, a bill for an act relating to public safety, allowing for the acceptance of certain gifts related to a line of duty, death of a public safety officer, etc.
Third reading. Any other discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on House File 124. Senator Umu Verbaden, for those voting pursuant, Senator Umu Verbaden, For those voting pursuant to Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. I report that Senator Carlson votes aye.
Senator Carlson votes aye. Senator Rasmussen, for those voting pursuant to Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Jasinski votes aye.
Senator Jasinski votes aye. All members having voted who desires a vote, the secretary will close the roll. There have been 63 ayes and zero nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Murphy for a motion to recess.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to move a recess to the call of the president. We will be coming back with a skeleton crew, as we know, later today in order to move some committee reports. And with that, I move a recess to the call of the president.
All in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The Senate is now in recess.